those magical ideas that come through, and sometimes we just have to, you know, just grab them. And just in the conversation, someone said something about Ed Camp Boxer, and we were just like, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. And
you'd be less scared of that lovable hamburger toting clown.
Probably not that. If it's impact you want, why not go global? Going global next with Sarah Thomas.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education.
That's right, Scott. Today on the show, we have the incomparable Sarah Thomas with us. She's a regional tech coordinator in Maryland currently. She left the classroom, from what I understand, back in November. She is a Google certified innovator. And she is also the founder of EduMatch, today's dating service for teachers. Is that right, Sarah?
No. No, not at all. We are not a dating site.
So what is EduMatch?
EduMatch is an organic grassroots level project that started back in September 2014, and we're just connecting educators around the world around topics of shared interest. So it's pretty cool.
I thought maybe it was also lighting textbooks on fire or something like that.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Hey, the right textbooks, that wouldn't be too bad of an idea, Tim.
That's what I'm thinking. So why don't you get us started? You have a passion for just growing your impact globally and not just impacting the 30 students or whatever you happen to have in your classroom, not even just impacting the students on your site, but impacting education beyond that. What are your ideas on that?
Absolutely. I feel like all of us, educators, students, administrators, everyone, we all have a story to tell. We all have expertise in something. So when we get together and we collectively amplify our voices, and just magic happens, and just the collaboration, when that comes into play, then, oh my gosh, it's just such a beautiful thing.
And Sarah, the first time I got to meet you face-to-face, I think it was at IPDX, and you're speaking out there, so you're not just, I mean, you're sharing the things that you're doing so that other teachers can really make an impact themselves. How did that start for you, and what could maybe somebody that's listening, how could they you know, make that same kind of impact by getting out there and speaking?
Absolutely. It was scary to start speaking because I'm an introvert, so, you know, I'm kind of shy, kind of quiet, and, you know, tend to keep to myself. So it was kind of a struggle to start, but once I did start, then just keeping that ball rolling, like, it was just such a rewarding experience to be able to share and to learn from other educators. So for anybody who might be in the same boat, I would say just do it. Like, it's the way that we can all help the field by just sharing our ideas.
And what are some other ways besides presenting at conferences that you've been able to see your impact grow, and perhaps some other teachers have seen it? You might not have done it yourself. We can't all do everything, right? So what are some ideas for specifically growing your impact globally?
I would say I really like to read other people's blogs. Like, they just have such fantastic ideas, and podcasts, like how y'all are doing right now. With EduMatch, we do a weekly podcast as well. And, you know, we just kind of try to share ideas together and just grow together, and just Voxer, Twitter, things of that nature, social media, just great tools to connect with other educators worldwide.
Sarah, one of the things you and some amazing people like Nicole Howard and some other friends, I'll let you tell who they are, did that totally had me like addicted to my phone over the entire last winter break was Ed Camp Voxer. So it's like, I feel like you don't stop, which is awesome. It's like an inspiration that, like, you keep looking for different ways to reach out, to have teachers connect, share. Give us like some background first on Ed Camp Voxer, and then maybe some things you as a team and the other teachers who are involved learned out of that. Is that something you're going to do in the future? What are some things like takeaways, I guess?
And also for our listeners, tell them what Voxer is, because I have a feeling that there's several that don't even know what Voxer is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Voxer is awesome. It's like kind of like those chirp chirp Nextel walkie-talkie back in the day, except that it will record the message and you can play it back asynchronously. And you're in groups of people, up to 500 people. So you have all of these people just kind of listening to the message and just giving their two cents. So it's really transformative. It's a great tool. And EdCamp Voxer, the way that it got started, we were all in a Voxer group, all five of us on the organizing team. So as you said, Nicole, Carla, we had Shayna White, we had Rochelle Wooten, and myself. So the five of us, we are in a Voxer group together. And, you know, the idea just kind of came out one time, like, you know, we were all using Voxer together. So, and a lot of us were really into EdCamp. So, you know, with, in the conversation, someone said something about EdCamp Voxer and we were just like, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. And, you know, as we just started doing it, it just kind of came together. It was magical. Things just kind of fell into place. And then, you know, awesome people joined us. Scott, I know that you were in there talking subversive education. So it was great.
Some awesome people that joined, not me.
No, definitely. That group was on fire. So that was fantastic. And, you know, it's just been a great experience. So we're going to bring it back right after ISTE, because a lot of times people are on that ISTE high. And then, you know, when it's over, then you just kind of have that ISTE hangover, like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more, I want to connect more. So right after ISTE, July 5th to the 9th, we're bringing it back.
Sweet. Cool. And do you know the impact of EdCamp Voxer? Because it just seemed like there were a ton of people participating. Do you know how many people participated and from where they were located around the globe?
Yeah, it was crazy, because when we started, like, me personally, I thought that we were going to have like maybe 20, 30 people, but we ended up having about 500, over 500.
500.
Yeah. So it's crazy. And the fact that it just kind of came together so quickly, was just, it just blew my mind. Like the conversations that people were having, I learned so much from it. So it was a really cool thing.
Made some great connections. Heard things that people are doing. It's just like, wow, I need to like up my game. I need to up my game. Like, I love that though, that friendly competition that drives us all forward to keep doing more and more innovative things that in turn can impact kids, which is huge. What are do you remember some of the ideas or things you took away from that? I know it's been a month or so now, but
Yeah. I know that one thing that particularly struck me, it came about in the subversive education group. And I can't remember. I think it might have been John who was talking about the lesson takeover, where, you know, that could be a prize, you know, for teachers in the district to just kind of like co-teach with someone from, you know, the district level, and how cool that would be. So we are actually, my district is doing a great challenge for Digital Learning Day coming up. And, you know, that's going to be one of the raffle prizes. So super excited about that.
So what you're saying, I mean, just a big picture look at this, you're just basically hanging out, talking to some friends, some virtual friends in a sense, right? I mean, some of these people I'm sure you know pretty well too, but, and then you just strike up an idea and you're willing to take a risk and run with it. It's not just an idea that sits on the shelf.
Right, exactly. And that's what it's all about, because, you know, we get those magical ideas that come through, and sometimes we just have to, you know, just grab them and just put them into effect and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part about why we're so happy to have you here, Sarah, is you're out there doing, and, you know, a lot of people can talk, but you're really backing up what you're talking with actions and then really impacting education. So do you have something else like secret about to like launch soon, or what, like is there anything else like idea? Like what do you got going on right now? What's really happening with you right now as far as like your impact? And I know EduMatch is a big part of what you're doing. You can get more into that or talk about, you know, I know you're involved with EduColor and just different aspects. Right. So go in any direction you want. We just want to hear what you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just really an exciting time right now. I'm just so honored to be able to collaborate with such great people, the different organizations that you listed just now, as well as my team at work. I just moved into a district role and just, you know, just being part of this awesome team that has inspired me for so long. And, you know, now being able to work with these people, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is just amazing. But, you know, just keeping on with EduMatch, and I'm very excited also to, like you said, join EduColor, and you know, just so many great things brewing. So I'm just very, very honored and very lucky to be able to be a part of all these things.
How does EduMatch work exactly, Sarah?
EduMatch, we just kind of take over social media, for lack of a better phrase, but we're everywhere. Like I would say the main three parts would be Voxer. We have an EduMatch Voxer group that literally goes on like 24 hours nonstop. It's pretty cool. And people from all over the world. Oh, it's bit.ly/EduMatchVoxer. That would be the quickest way to get in there. So
okay.
I'll say it one more time. bit.ly/EduMatchVoxer. So yeah, and there's also, if people sign up on our website, edumatch.education, there's a Google form in there. That will let you be the EduMatch person of the day. So, you know, we just kind of feature one person per day and just tweet out all this info about them that they have supplied, you know, about themselves. So that would be probably the second aspect. And the third busiest aspect would be the weekly tweet and talk. So it's like a podcast. We do a Google Hangout on air, and in the background, people just answer questions in a Twitter chat.
Cool. And how do they find that that podcast?
That would be bit.ly/EduMatchPodcast.
Great. And so what you're doing is encouraging the discussion on regular social media. Would that be Facebook? I know Facebook doesn't really run by hashtags, but Twitter, and then maybe are you using anything else like Pinterest or anything like that to match people up? I mean, you just use the hashtag EduMatch, or how does that work?
Yeah, we are on Pinterest. We have a Pinterest board. We also have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. We have a Slack. And there's some other, a guest blog service where people, you know, they can post to the guest blog. We also auto retweet members' posts from the EduMatch Twitter account. So yeah, if you look for the EduMatch hashtag on social media, as well as different groups called EduMatch. On Twitter, it's edu_match. That would be the Twitter account link to that.
Great. And that's just a way for people to connect with each other so they could do like a mystery hangout or anything where they're connecting their classes with other classes, right?
Absolutely. And also connecting individually to grow together professionally. Mm. So there's been like a ton of collaboration that's kind of come out of the group. And of course it belongs to the individuals who, you know, who are doing that. But there've been, you know, people who have linked up and they've started side projects. So, I mean, I'm just so thrilled to see, all of this great collaboration going on.
Very cool. Hey Sarah, did I hear that you, speak multiple languages? Is that correct?
Yeah. I speak French. My family is Haitian.
I took 5 years of French.
Ooh, okay.
And I can say il y a, and that's it.
Il y a. Il y a. Yeah. French.
Didn't do me much good.
Oh. That's still good, though. That's still good.
Yeah. It helped me to learn Spanish is what it did, because I should have taken Spanish. I live in Southern California. This is, you know, French is not real handy around here, but Spanish is. So I took the wrong language, unfortunately. But what other languages do you speak?
Haitian Creole. I can understand it. Yeah, because my family's from Haiti. And Spanish, I'm like, un poquito de español, that's it. And you know, just trying to pick up wherever I can of whatever I can. I have a friend in EduMatch who's actually teaching me Tagalog from the Philippines. So yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. So EduMatch is you know, those connections are just so cool. They yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, I think it's about time in the show now that we're going to switch gears, if you guys don't mind, and play a little game with you.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So, Sarah, we did a little digging and found out that despite your doctorate and speaking multiple languages, you have quite a few fears, phobias.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So we're going to play a little game with you today that we're calling Run for Your Life. So we're going to be asking you some questions about just a few of your many irrational fears that you might have.
Okay.
That I have many of myself. Scott, why don't you tell our audience who Sarah will be playing for today?
Sarah, you'll be competing for Tara Linney, a tech coach in Singapore. If you're able to answer two out of the three questions correctly, Tara will be awarded a free download of an album of the ridiculously popular edgy rock band Rockin' the Standards.
Our studio audience was a little slow in responding there, but all right. So, Sarah, here we go. We're going to try to, since you have these fears, we, the Bedley brothers today, are going to play therapists, and we're going to try to make you overcome some of your greatest fears, if you don't mind right now, by asking you questions of all things. So here goes question number one. So, Sarah, you're afraid of snakes, are you? Is that true?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. All right. So studies have shown that one out of three human adults suffers from ophidiophobia, or the fear of snakes, making it the most common of known phobias. How do experts say one can cure ophidiophobia? Is it A?
At peace therapy. Take some time to close your eyes and picture yourself with a snake. Now visualize the snake being nice to you and slithering across your arm without harming you. Tell yourself about 10 times out loud, "This snake is really nice." And then think realistically about how many people you've ever known that have actually been harmed by a snake. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? Then open your eyes slowly.
Mm. Okay, so that's the first choice, at peace therapy. Or is it B?
Exposure therapy. Exposure therapy is precisely what it sounds like, namely exposing yourself to snakes, but in a safe and controlled environment. You definitely do not want to go out into the wild looking for one. I'm just cracking up, Tim, that it says exposing yourself to snakes.
I don't go there.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long week. Okay. You definitely don't want to go out into the wild looking for ones. Starting out small and with a toy snake and then take a picture of a snake and then can help you by exposing yourself to real-life snake, which you can encounter at your local zoo or pet store.
All right, so that's the exposure therapy. Or is it dominance therapy?
Experts say that if a person with ophidiophobia can't answer their questions towards snakes in a real way. I'm the dumb one, by the way, Sarah. They will feel the sense of power over the snake and no longer fear them. Here's how it works. Take a few of the biggest, most realistic fake snakes you can find and beat the living daylights out of them. You can pound on them with hammers, chop on them with a shovel, do whatever it takes. But once you're done, with a good 3 to 5 minutes of demolishing that snake, try handling a real one. You'll find that you no longer have that irrational fear.
All right, so those are your three choices, Sarah. Believe it or not, one of those is a real therapy treatment for those with whatever that big long word is, fear of snakes. So your choices again are A, at-peace therapy, B, exposure therapy, or C, dominance therapy. Which one would you say it is?
Whew. All right, I'm going to have to use process of elimination. It's probably not C.
You're eliminating C for ophidiophobia.
Yes, I'm eliminating C. Now, I guess I would have to have a 50-50 shot of which one would probably work best for me. And for that, I will go with A.
Wow.
got a question.
It's not peace therapy. It's actually exposure therapy, where you expose yourself to pictures and fake snakes, and then that will eventually lead to being able to be around real snakes. So we fooled you on the first one. That's okay. You still have two more chances. So okay. Here we go with question number two. We also hear that you have a fear of flying, Sarah. Is that true?
That is true.
You fly like all over, Sarah. Are you serious?
Yeah, I got over it.
Okay.
With B. I should have picked B for the last question.
Okay. So the National Safety Council compiled an odds of dying table for 2008. I know this is a little bit old, but you know how statistics go. They don't really keep up there. But, which illustrates the relative risks of flying and driving safety. It calculated the odds of dying in a motor vehicle accident to be 1 in 98 for a lifetime. That's for a vehicle, for an automobile vehicle or a motorcycle or something, right?
Not once Google comes out with their cars, Tim.
That's right. For air and space transport, I guess for people that go to outer space or something, I don't know, including air taxis and private flights, the odds are 1 in what for a lifetime that you would be killed that way, okay? So this is for the flying. We know it's 1 in 98 for vehicles, but what about flying? 1 in what? Is it A?
1 in 7,178.
Or is it B?
1 in 77.
Or is it C?
1 in a million. 1 in a million.
Okay. For this one, I would have to go, oh gosh, it's nerves time. All right, I know it's not going to be B, otherwise I'm in trouble.
1 in 77, okay, you eliminated that one. So now you're down to 1 in 7,178 or 1 in a million.
Oh, sorry, I misread that, Tim. It's 1 in 100 million.
Oh, you're right. It is. It's 1 in 100 million. What are your chances? Is it 1 in 100 million or 1 in 7,178?
All right. I knew C sounded too good to be true, so let's go with C. That sounds more realistic.
Sure.
You mean C as in 100 million?
I believe so.
100 million? Not just a million. The odds of dying in your whole lifetime are 1 in 100 million.
On a plane?
On a plane. Or it could be 1 in 7,178. Take time to really think about your final answer.
Okay. All right. Let me go with A.
Are you sure you want A?
Yes, I want A.
Yes. How did you figure it out? Okay.
I don't know.
Woo! That was a close one.
That
for
was
a second
close.
There, I thought you were going to pick 1 in 100 million, but I'm glad you did.
Think
okay.
We just revived your phobia with that number, too.
Yes, it was wishful thinking. So
Maybe that one's not going to help you to get rid of the phobia, but all right. So you got 1 out of 2 correct, and now we're on to question number 3. We also understand that you are not very fond of Ronald McDonald.
Oh, no, I cannot stand Ronald.
Okay, well, okay, but maybe if we taught you a little bit more about him, you'd be less scared of that lovable hamburger-toting clown.
Probably not, though.
So now we're going to give you 3 little-known facts about Ronald McDonald. Which of the following 3 facts are actually, or is, not a fact at all, but it's made up? So we're looking for the false one out of these 3. 2 of these are real facts, but 1 of them is not. All right. So is it A?
The original TV Ronald McDonald was played by none other than Willard Scott, the man who later became famous as NBC Today Show weatherman and spokesperson for Welch's Grape Jelly.
Okay. So we have the first one, Willard Scott playing the original Ronald McDonald. And is it B?
Ronald McDonald is affectionately known as Donald McDonald in Japan. Maybe that makes him a little less scary. Probably not, though.
Okay. So, or is it C, Scott?
McDonald's has recently announced plans to give Ronald McDonald a facelift. Within the next year, Ronald will no longer be wearing heavy makeup, and his suit will be more form-fitting now.
So your three choices, remember we're looking for the false thing about Ronald McDonald, is that he was played by Willard Scott, he is known as Donald McDonald in Japan, or he's going to be getting a facelift over the next year. False about Ronald. Okay.
I want to go with C.
Yes!
Okay, yay!
I'm so glad you went with C.
Yes, me too. Thank you.
That's right. The original TV Ronald McDonald was played from 1963 to 1965 by Willard Scott, and he is known as Donald McDonald, not Donald Trump, but Donald McDonald in...
Thank goodness.
In Japan. So that might have made him even scarier. Anyway, all right. Scott, why don't you let our listeners know how Sarah did today?
Sarah, you got 2 out of 3 correct, and that makes you good enough to be a winner. Congratulations, Sarah. You won absolutely nothing. Sarah in Singapore just won a free download of Rockin' the Standards album. Educational rock and roll music for 2nd through 6th graders and adults. We love it too.
So, Sarah, thanks so much for playing along and being a good sport and for coming on the show and educating our listeners today. Can you give our listeners and your new fans a way to connect with you in the future?
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for having me. This is my Twitter handle, at Sarah the Teacher. I'll spell that because it looks crazy. SarahDateecher. Also, EduMatch is at edu_match. My website is sarahjanethomas.com and blog sarahtheteacher.com.
That's right. That's sarahjanethomas.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because you're not the only Sarah Thomas, am I guessing?
No, there's actually that female football referee. She's
the referee.
Yes. She comes up the most in the Google searches.
Well, you're in good company. That's awesome. I should say she's in good company is what it is. More.
Oh,
like.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, Sarah. Well, thank you again so much for coming on the show. And we're just, we're your cheerleaders on the side, cheering you on as you continue to make an impact. And we're so thankful that you're out there impacting the world of education for kids.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all.
And before we sign off, Scott, I think we got to celebrate.
Celebrate.
Global School Play Day. What happened? Yeah. What happened on Global School Play Day?
177,000 plus students were given the day to play by their teachers to let everybody know, hey, play is an important part of a healthy, unstructured play is an important part of a healthy development for kids. And we hope the word just keeps spreading out there for our next Global School Play Day, which is if you're listening to this in 2016 or prior to February 1st, 2017, that's when the next Global School Play Day is. So we hope you register and sign up. When you do, there's no cost. It's free. It's just saying, hey, we're standing with you in this movement to say that unstructured play is an important part of a child's life, and we need to make sure we keep it part of a child's life.
That's right, Scott. So go to Global School Play Day, globalschoolplayday.com, and register for the 2017 event. Again, there's no cost to you. This is not a money-making adventure at all. It's all about just getting kids out and playing and having that unstructured time to develop into proper adults like they need to have. So we hope that you'll join us in our efforts to sending that loud message to the world, and hopefully you'll sign up for the whole day. We're asking you how long you're signing up for this time. sign up and take a risk. Do the whole day of play with your kids. That's what I've done for the past 2 years, so has Scott. And just to play for an hour is really not sending much of a signal to the world that you value play, unstructured play in a child's development. So let's get that whole day. Let's give it up and say, yes, it's still educational. We don't have to be doing worksheets and lecturing. They're still getting a good education.
Yeah, you still get 180 plus. Give the kids one, please.
All right. So thanks for watching, audience, and thanks for watching, most of all.
Thanks for watching, Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
I think I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley brothers. Yeah. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing